Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, November 23rd, Pope Francis will make an apostolic visit to the French island of Corsica in mid-December. Israeli airstrikes in central Beirut kill nearly a dozen people, and Sudanese bishops urge the international community to address the war and humanitarian crisis gripping Sudan. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. The Holy See Press Office announced today that Pope Francis will make an apostolic journey to Corsica, France, on December 15th. The Pope will take part in a conference on popular religiosity in the Diocese of Ajaccio, the Mediterranean island's capital. Lisa Zangherini reports.
Corsica is the fourth largest island in the Mediterranean after Cyprus and is known for being the homeland of Napoleon. Located off the western coast of Italy, it has been at the crossroad of various Mediterranean cultures and powers, including the Italian republics of Pisa and Genoa, and finally France, which annexed the island in 1769 after fierce resistance from the Corsican independentists. Due to the Italian cultural influence and its community-based social structure, Corsica has retained a distinctive cultural and linguistic identity with ongoing discussions about autonomy. The island, covered by the Diocese of Ajaccio, numbers some 277,000 Catholics, representing 81.5% of its population. Catholicism has held an important place in Corsican history. This is testified by the many churches in its inland villages and its deep-rooted popular devotions, in particular to the Virgin Mary. Religious festivals, processions and pilgrimages continue to punctuate Corsican social life today, despite urbanization and the social-economic changes of recent decades. These religious traditions will be the focus of the two-day colloquium on popular religiosity in the Mediterranean, to which Pope Francis has been invited to take part. The venue will bring together participants from France, Italy and Spain to share the richness of faith of Corsican popular religiosity with similar traditions in other regions of the Mediterranean. The motto of the apostolic journey is "He went about doing good," which recalls that the Pope visits a church in Corsica like the shepherd who goes to his people. The logo features a stylized map of Corsica in vertical blue lines, with the highest line culminating in the shape of a cross. In the lower part features a silhouette of the Madonna, Queen of Corsica, emerging from the sea. I am Lisa Zangherini.
Pope Francis met today with canon lawyers taking part in a course organized by the Tribunal of the Roman Rota. The Pope highlighted how charity, justice, and truth are interconnected and at the heart of the 2025 Jubilee of Hope. Linda Bordoni has more.
Love, caritas, is an extraordinary force that impels people to courageously and generously engage in the field of justice and peace, said Pope Francis on Saturday to participants in a formation course organized by the Tribunal of the Roman Rota. It is a force, he added, that originates in God, eternal love and absolute truth. Explaining that the mission of the Roman Rota, the Church's highest court of appeal, can be described as a ministry of justice and charity and truth, the Pope said canon lawyers are called to love each of these virtues that are so closely intertwined that if one is lacking, all three lose authenticity. Neither justice without charity, nor charity without justice, he said, never forgetting that justice can only be understood in the light of love. Love, he said, teaches canon lawyers to cultivate their legal sensitivity so that they may recognize what constitutes a true right of the person within the Church. The Pope invited everyone to look beyond a mistaken concept of justice as a merely punitive exercise, while, he explained, it is a distinctly altruistic virtue that seeks the good of the other. Charity and justice, the Pope continued, work harmoniously together when they find their basis in truth. In conclusion, Pope Francis invited canon lawyers to embrace hope as the Church looks to the upcoming 2025 Jubilee of Hope, which begins on December the 24th. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Lebanon's health ministry says that an Israeli airstrike in central Beirut has killed at least 11 people and injured scores of others. Israel has carried out several airstrikes on alleged Hezbollah targets over the past day, as Nathan Morley reports.
As of late Saturday afternoon, rescuers were using heavy machinery to search for survivors. The explosion shook the city, and footage shows a thick black plume of smoke rising high into the sky. Reports on Lebanese radio say the attack, which happened at around 4 o'clock in the morning, flattened an eight-story building in downtown Beirut in a densely populated area. Reports also say a Hezbollah leader was one of the targets. This man, Ali Nasser, was caught up in the attack.
It's a very horrible explosion happened. All of the windows, the glasses are over me and my wife and my children. My home now is a battlefield. Everything is broken.
The Israeli military said it had struck a number of sites linked to Hezbollah during the last 24 hours. In a statement posted on Telegram, the military said it had carried out bombings against Hezbollah terrorist targets in a southern suburb of Beirut, which it described as a key Hezbollah stronghold. It said several Hezbollah command centers had also been targeted. Elsewhere, three paramedics were killed in an Israeli airstrike targeting their vehicle in southern Lebanon. Around the same time, four Italian peacekeepers were injured when two rockets hit the United Nations interim headquarters in the south of the country. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The situation in Sudan has been described as one of the world's worst humanitarian crises as warring parties battle for control of the African nation. The Catholic bishops of Sudan and South Sudan have earnestly appealed to the international community to do all possible to prevent the country from disintegrating. Father Paul Samasumo has the story.
The tragic humanitarian crisis in Sudan calls on the global community to take urgent action to end the fighting, desist from sending arms to the combatants, and instead scale up much-needed humanitarian assistance. The Sudanese and South Sudan prelates made the remarks in a pastoral statement issued at the end of their plenary conference held this week in Juba. The bishops say they are deeply worried about the deteriorating socio-political situation in Sudan, which is the result of war that started mid-April 2023 and continues with no chance of peace due to a lack of dialogue between the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces. Thousands of civilians in Sudan have lost their lives, and millions others have since fled their homes. Turning their attention to South Sudan, the bishops also say they are equally concerned about the cost of living and conditions that the people of South Sudan are faced with. They point to civil servants and members of the security forces who have not been paid their salaries in more than a year. The bishops further address themselves and their concerns to the current postponement of elections in South Sudan. They want South Sudanese politicians to dedicate themselves to allowing national elections so that the people of South Sudan can vote for a government of their choice. I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
Staying with the story, Sudan's 19-month war has uprooted over 11 million people both inside Sudan and beyond, leaving nearly 25 million people in need of assistance. It is the world's worst humanitarian crisis, and amid the horror, soldiers and militias of both sides have allegedly perpetrated war crimes and abuse, including large-scale sexual violence, gang rape, and detention of women and girls for sexual slavery. Mona Rishmawi, a member of the United Nations fact-finding mission on Sudan, said a battle is being fought on the bodies of women.
Sexual violence has been rampant in Sudan for quite some time. But during this current conflict, we have seen something that I never saw before. I worked on Sudan before. In the last 20 years, I have been working on Sudan. But this current situation is very difficult. How we got the information is basically by talking to survivors who actually survived the situation, survived the conflict in refugee camps. We visited Chad. We talked to people there. But we also, people reach out to us. We talk to health providers. We talk to doctors. We talk to midwives. And I personally talk to women and girls myself, who were subjected to sexual violence. And as I say, this is a shameful story, to be honest. You know, when the war is being fought on the bodies of women, that's really shameful for any fighter, for any party to the conflict who actually commit this kind of violations is really, in addition to being a huge violation, major violation of international human rights and humanitarian law, this is a big stain on the perpetrator's dignity and humanity.
That was Mona Rishmawi, a member of the UN's fact-finding mission on Sudan. Elsewhere, the bishops of South Sudan have called on the government to hold long-delayed democratic elections in order to preserve the country's fragile peace. Godfrey Kampamba reports.
With the recurrent postponements of democratic elections in South Sudan, the hope for sustainable peace is waning. This warning by the bishops of South Sudan and Sudan came at the end of their meeting on peace in the two countries held in Kit in the South Sudanese state of Eastern Equatoria. South Sudan is facing the challenges of the civil war that broke out in December 2013 and which saw President Salva Kiir stand against Vice President Riek Machar. In spite of the many agreements signed, which also called for general elections to be held this year, the elections have been postponed until February 2027. To that effect, the bishops call on the government of South Sudan and the opposition groups to speed up the implementation of the milestones of the 2018 revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan and the speedy conclusion of the expected 2024 Tumaini consensus without further delay. They also call for the rapid adoption of a new constitution and appeal to the international community to continue to support South Sudan's efforts to achieve stability and development. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
The prefect of the Vatican's Dicastery for Communication, our parent entity, has asked if Catholic communicators are ready to respond to the challenges of creating a community of mutual sharing and collaboration as a means to share truth and build a better world. Speaking at the launch of the first national Catholic media conference taking place in Bangalore, India, Dr. Paolo Ruffini noted that we live in a time of passage, and calling the changes in the world of communication a revolution. He highlighted the urgency of action and said that this is our time, saying we are shaping it through what we do and through what we fail to do. The event, entitled Illuminaria, the Nurturing Digital Stewardship in the Era of Artificial Intelligence, aims to explore the impact of social media and artificial intelligence on the lives of consecrated people while promoting their responsibility and ethical use. The Divine Mercy Chapel in the Thai city of Bangkok has been hailed as a landmark of environmentally conscious design that integrates faith and care for creation. According to Redemptorist Father John Amnorpatana, the project is rooted in the principles of Laudato Si and seeks to respect the natural environment surrounding it. He described the chapel as a tangible manifestation of Pope Francis's call for ecological conversion. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Patrizio Ciprati in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.